roundtable. And today we have four super funny comics. Actually, we have five. But we're going to take a commercial. We're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to bring Carolyn Minson out. So we actually have five, but we are on a limited budget. We have four mics. That's it. So we couldn't really. Mine doesn't really work. So it's just you guys will be heard. We got four comics of all levels, all stages of the game here. We have Paul Venier. Everybody, big round of applause, Paul Venier. Good friend of mine. We've been working together for a long, long, long time, from Rascals and everything. It's just great stories. And then we have people like Annie, who, how long have you been doing it?
3 years.
3 years, everybody. Three years. That's right. We have Matthew, another good friend of mine. Matthew's been with me for how long?
Since 2000.
Oh, we subtract now. We have to subtract.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you should have said a problems. Time. I don't know how long that is. All right, longer than her, though. Longer than her. Carlo, how long have I known you?
About 10 years, 12
about,
years.
Yeah, say so, about 10 years. So we have a little bit of a range here. So we're going to tell true stories, things we hate, things we love about comedy. And also now, the only difference, Matt, you do impressions. So I don't know, how do you guys feel about impressions?
I love it.
There you go. Yeah? Wow. All right, so cool. So is it harder being an impressionist, you think, or straight, you know, because most of these people are straight stand-up comics.
Yeah, no, these guys are great to be able to. I actually really am jealous of being able to just... I always kind of sometimes hide behind the voice, you know?
Right.
But it's hard doing a show when you don't know the age group. Somebody may not know Chris Tucker,
right.
An older person, but somebody may not know as an older person, you know, Jack Benny. You can't, you know what I mean?
Right, right, yeah, 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 yeah.
But I learned so much from you, Bob. It's a great teacher.
Thank you.
To just do your voices, and you know, nowadays Nick at Night and everything's bringing back TV Land and
right.
That stuff, so people can see the younger people and the older people if they don't know a voice. You know, you're not. You know, they may be having fun with the voice for that minute or something.
Right.
They don't know it, so
yeah.
Maybe they can learn it.
But you can adjust for the audience. Adjust for the audience.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's but it's fun. You can learn from so many. You know,
right.
Great.
Yeah, because there's so many forms of comedy, from ventriloquism to music. Well, you do music as well as
right.
Well, actually, you do. You're a show. You're a package because you do music. You right. Do improv. You do audience participation and bringing them up.
Yeah, I try to do a little bit of everything.
And you started.
If I could juggle, I would juggle. I just
yes, yeah, 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 yeah.
If I could, I would.
You started out in music, and I know I asked you this a long time ago. I'll ask you again. Do you like stand-up a lot better than being
I like
a
them both. I just like entertaining people.
Right, yeah.
And I like seeing people have a good time, whether it be comedy or music. I don't want to give one up for the other. I like
right,
them both.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
them both. I won't give up one up for the other.
Yeah, here's a question I ask everybody. I want to ask this up early because we have to switch. So I want everybody to tell me their best and worst story in the business. you know, so we're going to start with you because with 3 years, you don't have a lot of things that could go wrong yet, like,
yeah.
You know, mine, I'll tell you, my worst thing was somebody died in the audience.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, so it's like.
So I said, how'd you do it? You said, I killed.
And my best was, I guess, you know, I got paid. That was it. So,
yeah, right.
So now you, what is your best story? What's the best thing about comedy so far that you like?
Bet free food.
Yes! Yes!
That's
yes!
That's
yes! That is mine.
Yes. Well. What is that? Now, my best story ever. Was
no, second best. Free food.
Second
give me
best.
Free food.
Okay, second best was when we did that trailer park in July.
Oh, my God. You didn't tell them.
Oh, my God. It was so much fun. They were awesome. They were all drinking and smoking, and they were, like, down for whatever. They were so much fun. It's literally the best show I've ever done, and we got, like, a ton of free food. So
she didn't
that's
know
a
anything.
Wild crowd,
she didn't
too.
Know
that's
anything about it. The first thing she says to me, she goes, is there bathrooms?
Yeah, because they all have the trailers. I was like, do they have, like, bathrooms in their trailers? Well, I'm like, yeah, it's like a compact house.
Matt, what
that's
about
a wild
you?
Crowd, too.
Your best, you know, what's the best thing?
Oh, the best thing was, it was very touching. It was so nice. Somebody actually, like, had said, can I please have your autograph? And I was just,
oh, yeah.
That was, that was so nice. That was very
it's a subpoena.
Yeah.
Right? Fraternity suit.
Process server.
Very nice. But I don't really want to.
I think we forget about that kind of stuff because that is really like, cool because, you know, you're doing it every night. And if for somebody to come up and say, I like you enough to, can
yeah,
I have your order? Yeah.
Very, very nice.
Yeah, nobody's asked for mine yet. Okay. So, Carlo, what's your best story?
Oh, wow. I have to say it's a tie. My first open mic was 1987
right.
In the Village at the Boston Comedy Club. And I was nervous as hell. Ray Romano was closing the show.
Oh, wow,
he
yeah.
wasn't known yet. He was
right.
just breaking.
Yep.
It was him, Frankie Pace, and Mike Ivey.
Oh, my God.
And I hear this guy in the background going, rah, 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 rah. And I come down afterwards. It was Robin Williams. He says, you're very funny. Keep up the good work.
Get out of here.
Worst story? doing a gig at the Fireside in Denville.
Oh, yes!
You have to stand on a bar to do it.
Yeah, you
do
that.
And then
yes.
If there wasn't a brawl in the middle of it, you survived. It was a good night. Oh, my God. That was just crazy.
People, I wish people would know about that because if you, I always tell people, you're not a comic until you actually played there because people, I worked there so many times. I saw people get beat up with baseball bats, beer bottles. But they did it every week. And but
chicken
people
wire
would get,
it was like Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze. Yeah. You had to chicken put the, you should have put the comics in a cage and shit.
We're gonna go back and talk about that because there's a lot of great stories. So that's Betty's Fireside. So all right, so Paul, your worst.
The best or the worst? Which
one? All right, give me the best and we'll go back.
Best
to the
worst. Is two things. The music was playing in Central Park in front of 60,000 people.
Wow.
Comedy. The best thing for me, I mean, I love doing all my shows, but my favorite thing was my father, the first time he saw me doing my own show. And they always wondered what I was going to be. What I was going to be. That was entertaining my whole life. After he saw my show, doing a show at the Old School Inn, doing a 3-hour music and comedy show, he said to me the next day, he goes, "You picked the right profession. I'm really proud of you." And that made me feel like, thank you.
That's the ultimate approval.
And the worst.
No, don't say the worst yet. Okay. We're going to start here again. Because you already said your worst. No. All right, your worst.
Oh, God, my worst. I think it would have to be, it was like when I first started out 3 years ago. I was maybe doing it for like 2 or 3 months. And I went to, it was supposed to be a booked mic or a booked show.
Right.
But it turned into an open mic. And I was like maybe the 40th person on the show. Oh, and I was just sitting there like falling asleep, like waiting for the other comics to go. That was a long night.
Yeah.
I didn't get on until like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
But
wow.
I really wanted daytime, so I stuck it out.
Yeah, you got it. Hey, I don't care if there's one person left or, the bus boy picking up.
Doesn't matter.
Matt, best one.
Oh, I'm afraid to say it.
Or the worst one. This is the worst. We did your best. Your worst.
I'm afraid to say it, but this was like so... And I'm,
as long as it wasn't one of my gigs.
I don't have enough confidence as it is. My confidence is very low. So I'm on stage. This is what I hear from the guy in front. This guy is horrible.
Oh, no!
He gets up and I'm like... Oh. I'm like,
I'm used to hearing that. My girlfriend says that all the time.
That was difficult. Bobby's a good teacher. Try to look at people that are smart.
Yeah.
Since I didn't find any of those. but that was just tough.
Bad.
But, later on I found out that someone said, he was drinking. And he says that about,
Says that about everybody.
There's always one in the crowd.
But he was drinking.
And he was like really like.
Yeah. Consider the source.
There's always one in the crowd. That's kind of.
And he gets nicer when he drinks. That's a sad part.
That's funny.
Yeah, right.
You should have heard what he would have said if you were even sober, man.
It makes me just try harder.
You're worse.
Senator, I can't answer that question.
Is this the one you told me the other day?
I advise, but yes. I did a show down in the southern part of Virginia in this big tent that holds 500 people. Now, I'm the owner, the guy who booked me the show is convincing me to do my opening, the Flasher. I'm saying, I don't think it's an older crowd. I don't think I should really do this. And he's convinced me. I went against my better judgment, and I did it. And I didn't want to, and I did it. The whole tent, besides 20 people, clear out. And they're outside. They're still outside. They're outside the tent. Smoking cigarettes. They won't come back in the tent. And I'm doing about 10 minutes in my set, and the guy comes, "Okay, you got to stop." So I stop. I find out afterwards. He tells me afterwards, they're born again Christian.
Oh, man.
I said, "You told me that? I wouldn't have done the Flasher. Why didn't you tell me that?"
Explain to them what the Flasher is so they really know.
I have this rubber thing, and it's on a fishing line. It goes up and down. So that's how I open my show.
It's a thing.
So you're gonna all go like this, and they all leave the tent. And they're all outside. They're outside the tent smoking. They won't come back in.
Smoking and drinking, and they're born again Christian.
Well, smoking cigarettes.
All right.
That was the worst.
No. Matt was talking about confidence and stuff like that. Now, in comedy, one of the major things is you have to have confidence.
Yeah.
Paul has it. He loves it. He adores it. He's built for showbiz.
Paul's a great
Carla, inspiration. When you started, did you have confidence? And do you have it now?
Yeah, only because, I guess it's confidence. I just look at it, I was always on stage since I was 3 years old.
Right.
I was the kind of kid that, like, when Cub Scouts, they have, like, the troop meetings where all the dens get together once a month. And they go, anybody want to come up and entertain the audience? Come on. It got to the point, anybody besides Paul Vanier want to come to the stage? It's not so much confidence as much as I'm just born on stage.
Yeah,
to me, it's just natural.
Yeah.
I feel more natural on stage than I do off. So
right,
just,
yeah. A lot of entertainers do.
So it's, yeah. I don't really fit that mold because I can't really explain that.
Right.
But you have to take, the main thing is, I'll tell you, is once you hit the stage, no matter who you are, you have to take control.
Yes.
You can't give the control to the audience. Right. You have to have control. Yeah. And if they think they have the control, you have to have the control.
If they see, if they sense that you'll lose them quickly, they'll turn on you.
They're on your vibes. If you're nervous, they're nervous. If you're having fun, they're having fun.
Right. Well, do you have confidence?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I do now. Yeah, when I in the beginning, I didn't, because I was really overweight at that time. So I used my pain and sorrow. I was a 600-pound guy.
Yeah, tell people that. Yeah, let them know, because you work out now. You're a bodybuilder.
Oh yeah, I'm not a bodybuilder. I'm trying, but about 8 years ago, I had gastric bypass surgery. So I was 623 pounds. I just was the lifestyle I led. You know, going out and doing open mics and eating and going to sleep, and it kept snowballing. And but I wasn't a miserable fat guy. I was happy, but I used a lot of my stuff in my act. In the beginning, I didn't have, but I was a ham. I was the kind of guy that was always
a ham. I get it.
Yeah. I was the guy that always was you wanted to have at a party.
Right.
So I was sort of a natural, but. It's being a natural and being on that stage, it's a whole different animal. You have to build up. Now I don't, it's like second nature.
Did they want you at the party because you bought the food?
Yeah, I kept it under my flaps.
All right, what's the hardest thing about comedy for you? What is the hardest thing?
You know, I guess for me, struggling with my confidence.
It is still
as a comic, I'm funny based on that joke.
Yeah.
So I'm funny based on, I'm funny the first joke, and I'm not funny the second joke. Like, I'm based on joke to joke, which you can't have as a comic.
No, I think it's too much.
You know, like, so the audience.
So still fighting with the confidence thing,
whether or not I'm funny or not.
Right,
in one sense they do, but I'll have to express to
them. It's hard, and some audiences are hard to read because sometimes they're not laughers, but they really do like you.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, but will you not have in confidence? See, somebody like Paul, he can do it no matter what, and he knows how to read a room and everything like that. So with your confidence thing, I noticed, because you do so good all the time. You've never done bad. But I can read your face and that confidence thing. If they're not laughing hard,
you think you're bombing, and you're not.
And my friends make fun of me because they always say that I can tell when you're not confident. When you start out as Johnny Carson, by the end of the joke, you're Matt.
No, by the end of the joke, you're Bob Gonzo. You know, you're like,
okay, I'm Johnny Carson. Did you hear about the podiatrist that opened up his own dance club? It's called Club Foot. But if it doesn't go over, I'm like, it's called Club.
That's what amazes me today, how the attention spans are so, like, if you got to make an audience think, you're done today.
Right.
It's got to be. It's a shame, though. Like, years ago in the 80s, they used to be able to do a bit like that long.
Oh, yeah.
But nowadays, if you don't hit them hard, they're like, and it's a shame.
That's the MTV generation. It's quick.
Yeah, well, don't get me started on that.
So now, what about you? What's the hardest thing for you?
The hardest thing, I would say, probably just figuring out the crowd, reading the crowd, and sort of, like, gearing my material towards them. Because if there's older people in the crowd, then I can't do this certain bit, but I can definitely do this bit, because that'll hit really hard. And I did my Schwitzmuth Gloria. That's what I did on the Bob Gonzo show back in October.
Say that again, Bob Gonzo show.
And it didn't go over well because it was an old age home, and I think it hit too close to home for them.
Yeah, it did.
They're like, oh my God, that's me. She's doing me.
It's a very funny bit.
Thank you.
It's a great.
They got up in their walkers and attacked you.
Gloria's awesome.
They're on their breathing mechanism. She's making fun of them all.
She's like,
I can take anybody in here. Shut up. Yeah, so. All right, we're going to be back in 2 minutes. We're going for a commercial break. Thank you very much. Stick around.
Thank you.
Good job, baby. You're right, Carolyn. Get in there, baby. Good job.
Having a birthday party or a special event? Well, you need Intimid for that corporate event. Email Bob Gonzo. We have a large selection of all types of entertainment, including some of the top comedians working today. Whether the audience is children or senior citizens, we have the right entertainer for you. Email us at moviemakergonzo@aol.com with all the details of your next event or party. And be sure you include a daytime phone number so we can harass you and date of your party of the next event. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Bill Russell. This is my daughter, Karen. We have a lot in common. Our height, our good looks, and we both have the disease sarcoidosis.
Sarcoidosis is a common disease that causes tissue inflammation in vital organs, and it can be deadly. There's no known cure or cause.
please contact the Foundation for Sarcoidosis Research at stopsarcoidosis.org. Something.
This is the hand that sows the seed, that grows the forest, that drinks from the stream, that hugs the mountain, that gives shape to the wind, that carries the kite, that is flown by the child, that is loved by the woman, that toils at the job, that gives to Earthshare, that supports the hand, that sows the seed.
All life is woven together. How can we choose which environmental cause to support? Earthshare, the workplace giving program, makes it simple by bringing the leading environmental groups together under one umbrella. Support Earthshare, and you support them all, including the hands that sow the seeds and protect the forests and the streams and the children. To learn more, please visit our website.
Hey, everybody, do you know what time it is? It's time for ice cream. Would you like to make that birthday or corporate event special? Even have your very own ice cream truck filled with delicious ice cream at the party? Then please visit www.theicecreamtruckllc.com and be sure to tell them that Comedy Monday sent you. That's www.theicecreamtruckllc.com.
That's right, you can't play.
All right, welcome back. I want to thank our sponsors, Crazy Eddie and Fudgy. Oh, no, that's not ours. All right. Anyway, I would like to thank our sponsors, everybody. And if you do want to sponsor us, sponsor. And I particularly would like food sponsors, just in case. I'm just saying, all right? All right. So, Carolyn, this is Carolyn, everybody. Carolyn, yay! We switched chairs here. So, Carolyn, I'll ask you a different question because you already heard him, so it's not fair for you to, you already had answers, so we'll ask you different ones.
I was thinking about one.
Who are your, two things. When I say idols, who are your idols? Like, I mean, like, you know, from as far back as whatever, and then idols as in now. Like, who do you want to work with? Who did you like that you worked with?
Carol Burnett.
Yes.
Adore her. Yes. She is beyond
there
brilliant.
There you go. Yeah.
Loved her.
Yep.
Beyond brilliant.
Great show.
Her and B. Arthur. No, I was thinking of somebody else. Go on.
And as far as, who else? I mean, I really do. Joan Rivers.
Yeah.
Joan, she's hysterical.
Yes.
I mean, this woman, it's like there's nothing she will not say or not do. And ever since she had the cat eyes happening, the permanent surprise look on her face.
Yes.
Yeah, that's, I really like her.
Now, who have you worked with recently that you liked working with and you'd like to do it again?
I liked working with Paul Vanier.
Oh, there you go. Big round of applause for that. Nice,
Paul's
yes.
Great.
Yeah. If if you never see these comics, make sure you do go see them. Look on my website. Look, I got 400 rooms that I do. Come and see them. Paul, I will tell you something. If you're going to come, bring a night over thing or whatever. Paul will do a 2 to 4 hour show, and it's hysterical. And it's, like I said, he does everything from music stand up to everything. So it is a 2 hour show, so make sure you come and see him. But do it when we're together, because I love working with him. It's crazy
bring
night.
Bring
a futon.
Yeah, it's just a great time. So
and a watch.
Matt, who are your idols from the past, and like who do you like working with now? Like somebody who you worked with recently.
I guess growing up as an impressionist, like Rich Little, especially Danny Gaines, excellent.
Phenomenal.
But I also like Brian Regan a lot.
Yep, clean. But,
very clean.
Yeah. I just want to say another thing. Matt is squeaky clean. We have at the table here is everything from dirty to medium dirty to squeaky clean, and if. So
I tried to point at me
medium
when you said dirty.
No, I'm not pointing at anybody, but dirt, I'm not going to say anything, but he comes out with a wiener thing. So I'm not saying that.
Except at born again Christian parties.
Yeah. But if you're in a church function, Matt. Okay. So go ahead, Matt. Now, who have you worked with recently?
Well, it was an honor to work with Paul.
Oh,
well,
because
Paul is great. It's great inspiration. Really. Just a great
inspiration.
A great inspiration. Yeah. Jeff Norris, right? Adam Kerr. Like, these guys are great. I mean, a great teacher with Bobby.
Thank you.
And all my classmates are just good to learn from.
Great class, yeah.
Learn from all my classmates.
Everybody in class is doing great. They're all working hard, so I like that. Paul?
My idols were the Marx Brothers.
Yes!
Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
Jerry Lewis.
There you go.
That was my idols.
Yeah.
I like working with everybody. What I like about comedy, my favorite thing about comedy, the different kinds of it, the different forms of comedy.
Yeah.
And I like watching, and I also like watching people starting out and watch how they get better as years go by.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things to see,
is
watch people progress.
True.
I really love watching that.
Right. Yeah. Did you ever see somebody get worse?
I've seen people not get better.
Yes.
I've seen people just stay the same and never get any better. But most guys get better. And most
what do you think that is though? Why? Because
I think some people just don't have it. Some people have it. Some people don't.
Is that what it? Yeah.
I think I think some people just don't. They don't. They can't grasp it, and they just never get better. They just stay the same level.
But why? Why wouldn't they ask for help? Is what I'm saying.
They can ask for help, but you still can't. You like the old saying: you can leave them the water, but you can't
get
drink.
It. It's just yeah.
It's either in you or it's not in you. You know, I believe that.
I always find that fascinating because you've been in it so long, and yeah, because every time you talk to me, you go, "I remember when so and so started."
Yeah,
and this guy's phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, I love watching
and other guys,
that.
They just stay at that level, and I never understood why you wouldn't ask.
Some people never find the formula for them.
And you're just saying that,
everybody has their own formula. Some people don't find it.
Oh, okay. You know, idols.
Wow, for me, first exposure, Abbott and Costello, without a doubt. Sunday mornings on Channel 11.
Ah, you remember that? Yeah, oh my God. Yeah.
And my ultimate all-time. Right here, Mr. Sam
Kinison. Oh, wow. Yeah.
His genius was second to none. Now, if you want to fast forward it to that, just so many people that that mentored me. Like, I love watching this guy, a showstopper. Vic DiBattista.
Yes.
Bob Levy.
Vic is another great guy. Bob Levy's
and Artie Lang is my favorites. I love working with Artie. But I'd love to work with Don Rickles one day. There's a guy.
Yes.
85 years old, still got his marbles and still sharp as a tack.
He saw me as a comic before I saw it. He's the one who told me I should be a comedian.
Really?
Isn't that what? Get out of
here. Before I knew it.
Wow. He's a great guy to comics because Mike Marino just met him in Vegas.
He's a sweetheart.
And he said the sweetest of night, and he's he's a big supporter of
Real
it.
Big family guy.
Still super funny. Yeah, no, I like when the old-time comics do help everybody because this business is so hard. Yeah. It's the hardest business there is to do it every night. And what we're doing with this show is I want the people out there to know how hard this is and what we're really trying to do for you guys. Like, Carla, why are you in this? Why?
I just love it. I just, ever since I was a kid, I've always, I guess I like the attention, and I just always had a sense of humor.
Yeah.
And Abacus, just the physical comedy alone, nobody does that anymore.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And unless you're a superstar, you don't make great money, but I do it for the love of it. I'm old school.
Yeah, let people know that too, because you know what? If you're doing it, do it for the love of it.
Right.
The money comes eventually. But sometimes it takes so darn long.
Yeah.
Well, I have a couple of issues with people that are in it, and they're like maybe have like they're professionals. You know what? I'm not gonna stop you if you want to do that, but. There's people that want to do this for a living and they're serious to it, and you're like a doctor and you want to do comedy on the side. I can't get I'm not gonna stop anybody, but I have an issue with that. You know?
Yeah, no, there's a lot of people that do that. They have another profession and they don't put their effort into it. And they don't because a comic is somebody who does. This is it. There's nothing
because
else.
You're taking stage time away from somebody that really wants to do this. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm not going to begrudge anybody. I support live. Every time I get on stage, the first thing I say is, thank you for supporting live comedy.
Yeah.
Nobody does that. Nobody does that. And they should. I tell these people, put down the remote, forget about reality TV, and come out and see people like him and Vic and Bobby's people. That's entertainment. Mm-hmm. You get your money's worth.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to say.
All right. What about you?
What's the question?
Why are you all right, female comics. We're not saying anything. Female comics. We're not saying a word.
I'm sorry. I had to do that. I just touched up my blonde roots. So
I was going
to
say, is there blonde roots on today?
I was born blonde, but I upgraded my IQ when I, you know, became a redhead. basically, I love the fact.
Yeah, talking to the mic.
I love the fact. When someone asks me what I do for a living and I say that I'm a stand-up comic, it feels ever so natural because my cousin always told me, you know, Carol, eventually you'll find your niche because before this I could not find my niche no matter what I wanted to do. I love stand-up comedy because I love it when I can make somebody laugh after they've had a really hard day. I've worked with cancer patients. I've worked with people with problems. You realize how blessed you are when you get through, you know, working with them. And when you know that for 10 minutes, you can take them away from their problems.
Right.
Yeah.
To me, that is gold. And whenever I get someone giving attitude, I'm saying, excuse me, but for 10 minutes, I can take them away from it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what can you do? It makes you realize that your problems are not as bad. Like, I did a show this afternoon for people who were mentally ill, and just to look at them, I couldn't help but cry.
What'd you call us?
That's right, you were sitting in the back. But it was just sad, but you know what? I brought happiness to them for a few minutes.
Right,
And you know, I think I got it bad sometimes, so we should. People don't realize how fortunate. Like, there's people dying, kids are. You know, so I think count your blessings and just, you know, I live every day like it's going to be my last.
Eventually, you'll be right.
I eat every day like it's going to be my last.
We all
right,
know
Matt?
That. Yes.
I'm in it for the dental plan.
Good. Yes. Yes.
We have a great dental plan.
Yes.
I looked online and they said,
comedy, you know, for the benefits.
Yeah, for the benefits. Yeah.
You want some transplants good too?
No, it's just to be able to make someone smile.
Yeah.
It's just to, you know, yeah, like you guys had mentioned before, it's just to have that effect where someone, like you said, for that particular moment, they're smiling. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just it's you can't. It, there's no amount of money that can.
Yeah.
You know. It's an, yeah, it's just a
pleasure. I feel bad.
You also get a plaque for the dental plan.
Yeah, yeah.
You get plaque or you get a plaque?
I'm not a great weight loss plan and a great, you know, liposuction plan and a great lap band.
I just do it for the drunk girls at the end of the night.
There you go.
And, no, that's not true.
Food.
It's for the food. He does it for the food.
Yeah. That's the first thing I thank everybody for. Thank you for the free food tonight.
And the boobies.
Well, we know why you. We know why you. You were born to do it, and that's...
I love doing it.
You couldn't do anything else if you tried, yeah.
No, I wouldn't be. Yeah. I'm a very unhappy person, though.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing about comics. A true comic, we do this all the time, I'm saying, is whether it's 5 nights to 7 nights a week, but it's year in and with... young kids, old kids, whatever crowd's booing, and a true comic, and he goes up. This is a true story. I've been with him for over 20 years, and he's high as a kite every time.
He means naturally.
Yes, naturally.
Yeah, don't do anything. Yes. I'm straight.
Yeah, he goes up with so much energy for 2 hours, and that's what I'm talking about, the true love, because I work with a lot of comics that one day they're this, one day it's not. You have to love it so much and do it. And that's why I love working with Paul, because he said he is thankful to God all the time to be able to do this, and I wish every comic would realize that. This is a God-given gift, and it's like the greatest thing to do, to help people. Because even no matter who's in that audience, they're there to heal from something.
To see show. Yeah. Give them a show. I don't care if it's 10 people. They paid to see the show. Give them a show.
We did the old Playboy Club. Remember, when there was only 7 people?
Right.
And we had to do the whole show. So that's what I'm saying.
I did 45 that night.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
Had a condense.
Did you have a fever?
I wish we had a lot more time, because I will just say real fast now. Okay. 1 to 3 people in the audience. How hard is it?
It shouldn't be hard if you're.
It shouldn't be, but
you should be able to handle any audience. I see a lot of comics who say, "Oh, it was a bad crowd." It's not a bad crowd. You should be able to handle any audience.
Right.
It's not hard at all.
Right. All right. You.
I don't look at how many people in the audience. I look at the long as they're having fun. Are they having fun? I'm having fun.
And I'll vouch for it because, like I said, I've worked with Walter, and we've done the smallest groups. We've done groups where they're 50 feet away.
We had to cancel the show at the Art Center in Hoboken.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes. And you went up.
I did 20 minutes anyway.
Yes.
So you people came, I'll do it. It was like 6 people in the audience.
Yeah.
Right. And we did a show.
And
I remember doing a show and there was only one guy. So it was, you know, I came out, I had to alternate, I had to adjust. So I came out as Rodney and go, "Hey, what a person."
All right.
I headlined when there was no audience, does that count? Well, the crew was there. It's just, the audience, you know.
Female comics. All right.
Yeah. One time at Rascals, it's true, Rascals was a blizzard. Nobody showed up. I'm playing Rascals down the shore.
Yeah.
And Ward goes, "We have to cancel the show. Nobody here." I said, "No, I don't blame you." And the two guys walked in. These two guys are the brothers.
So, yeah.
And they go, "Oh, is there going to be a show?" I said, "You're the only guy that showed up. Can we watch you break down?" I said, "Sure." So I did a little, as I was putting stuff away, I was used to
it. So, yeah, no.
It's small, so I said, "Work with two people."
That's a trooper for you.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Anyway. Yeah.
Hey. Let me throw you a lamp.
All right, we're gonna have everybody on the show again because there's like 20 questions I have to ask. But I want to thank my comics. Thank you guys for coming. Thank you for being comics. And audiences, understand that we love doing this. We want to do this for you. So when you come, love us back, because we all love you all. It is Christmas, so I want to say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Yay.
God loves you. I love you. Good night. See you guys later. Thank you.
Good morning, Prosper.
It's the Mark Daisy Show, filled with gifts, fun, and surprises, and $20,000 in cash for every viewer. Well, maybe not. But we do talk about stuff and things that you might want to think about after, before, and during the show. It's engaging, at least. So come by, won't you? We're here at Facebook, on iTunes. We broadcast from VK Media right here on the East Coast, and we're part of broadbandboxoffice.com. Check us out. Come by. Like us. Do what you can. Spend some time. Take some time off. Sit down. Have a viewing. It's happening. It's now. It's controversial. Or maybe not. But we could use a couple of more viewers. Maybe starting with you. Won't you?
Hi, I'm Randy Lupo, host of The Randy Lupo Show on Broadband Box Office. Wait, is that a tongue twister or an alliteration? Come meet my favorite people, comedians, actors, writers, spiritual people, and everyone in between. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Hi, my name is Tom Ragu of the Tom Ragu Sit Down Comedy Show. You can listen to us at the Broadband Box Office. And for more information, please visit www.tomragu.com/podcast.